You're listening to The Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy.
Actually, it is not Brekkie with Vossie and Brandy. They're having a bit of a break over the next couple of weeks. Actually, they're a couple of days into it already. And so we're all over the shop, I think, is the best way to describe the way the scheduling has gone here at 1170 SEN. But right now, I think I'm at breakfast, and I think James Magnuson's at breakfast as well.
How are you, Maggie? Jimmy. We got the double J's this morning.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with the triples.
Oh, of course.
We won't be talking about indie rock or climate change this morning.
Oh, hang on. Not yet. I've got it a couple of times on my rundown. James and Jimmy, and obviously my real name is James as well, but how do you get yourself a nickname like the Missile? Like, can we get to the bottom of that?
Well, it was one of the commentators back at the World Champs in 2011. I think it was in the relay. I was coming home fast in the second lap,
yep.
And they said he looks like a missile on this second lap, and it stuck forever.
Yeah,
before that, actually, they were trying to get the nickname going, the Anchorman, because I was the last swimmer in the relay.
Right.
And one of the commentators used it a few times, didn't catch. The next World Champs, he dropped Missile, and it stuck forever.
Do you know which commentator it was?
The one that used to, he also did Supercars. He was on Channel 10. He was commentating with Nicole Livingston at the time. I'll find out in the break.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, he was the one that coined Missile.
I'm James Magnuson? Doesn't quite work, does it? Anchorman.
They said at the end of the race, so I think it was a little bit of a throwback to Torpedo, which was Thorpedo.
Yes.
And they said at the end of the race, the Missile supersedes the Torpedo, or the Thorpedo.
Yeah.
And then from that line, it stuck forever.
That is not. I mean, there's good nicknames and bad nicknames.
Yeah, it's
that's
a decent
up there.
One. Yeah.
Well done on that. Congratulations. we're broadcasting through the SEN network. We're doing it 1170 SEN here in Sydney. SEN track on the Central Coast and the Illawarra, 90.3 FM in Griffith, anywhere in the world on the SEN app, of course. And a big welcome to SEN Track down there in Canberra, 1323 AM, newest station on the network. If you are listening through the SEN Canberra track, whether it's the app or the AM band, 1323, send us through a text. I think you've got a few over the last couple of days.
Yeah, we've had a few listeners from Canberra. It's been freezing down there, apparently. So give us a weather update from Canberra this morning. What's the real feel?
How do we work out the real
know.
Feel?
It's bizarre, isn't it? There's some bloke sitting in office somewhere. He walks outside, licks his finger, puts it in the air and goes, real feel.
Yeah, that feels like. 0457 736 736. Remember, you can subscribe to the Breakfast Show podcast, Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, on whatever your favourite podcast platform is. Make sure you're checking that out as well. Big show today, James. Cameron George, the Warriors CEO, first game back in New Zealand for 1,038 days.
Crazy. So,
isn't that amazing? I saw some of the scenes of the arrival yesterday, which was always going to be emotional. It's going to be emotional. You'd love to be not be the team playing them. Good luck, Tigers.
The Tigers. Oh. Like that's so West Tigers, isn't it? The one game, you'd look at the draw and go, all right, this is a winnable one. Then you go, first game back at Mount Snart. Like the luck for the Tigers, seriously.
Anyway, Danny Badiris, of course, part of the New South Wales Blues, but also part of the Mark Hughes Foundation ahead of the Beanies for Brain Cancer round. I was reading over $15 million they've raised.
So good.
2014, Mark and his wife set up that foundation. And
do you get the beanie each year?
No, I get five.
No. Yeah, nice.
One for everyone in the family.
We get, my girlfriend and I buy the beanie each year, and that you can see the evolution of fashion over time as well. They change each year. It's awesome.
Isn't it, someone who lacks creativity like myself is what are they new next year? They won't be able to beat this next year.
I actually, I prefer getting the girls one each year. I like the girls' beanies better, so I get the girls' beanie each year.
Anyway, we might delve into that a little bit more during the course of the morning as well. Brett Phillips will be on. We got Serena in it. Well, she was in a struggle. She lost the first set to Harmony Tan, and now she seems to have kicked into gear. Four love up in the second set.
She looks like the rapper Nelly tonight. She's got some sort of Band-Aid under the eye.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
Not sure.
Okay.
Interesting. Look, I thought at first it was the boot polish to block the light, but it's some sort of tape, I think.
You know, Jack Gibson brought that back from the USA.
Really?
He was the first one to bring it back, playing
Have
under lights.
Have you ever done it?
Yeah, we did do it one time in high school at St. Greg's at Campbelltown.
Did it work?
Nah.
Yeah. I think it's a myth.
You've got it. You used it too?
Yeah, like? I tried it once. I think it was sort of under 16s or 17s at night and just came off the field. My eyes were watering. It was burning my skin. I literally, we got boot polish from home that we would use on the school shoes.
Right.
Literally just rubbed that under the eyes.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if it's literally boot polish that they use when they played in the NFL, but whatever it was that I used was not good.
There are so many things that, like, the boot polish under the eye. Remember the nasal strip that you used to?
Yeah, the Brazilian swimmers used to have that on in the marshalling area before they raced. The steri strip that would open up the nostrils.
Allegedly.
Yeah, I don't think that worked either, yeah.
Just in case the Advertising Standards Bureau is listening and we need to make these wild allegations. Sean Miomarod from Sportsbet, he'll be along with all the latest markets. Michelle Bishop. Three times. We'll get the update from Michelle. Remember, get us on the tweets as well. Vossie Brandy SEN at Vossie Brandy SEN. And of course, the McDonald Jones open line 1300 01 1170. The text line 0457 736 736. Now, everyone wants to go to Origin 3. It's July 13th. We've got a prize here, two State of Origin Gold Reserve tickets at Suncorp, pre and post match function. A night's accommodation in the CBD and a couple of return flights from Sydney. So it's a great prize for your chance to win. Keep listening during the show for your cue to call, and the first caller through has a chance to answer a State of Origin question. Are they easy or hard ones? What are we doing with that?
Pretty easy.
Pretty easy.
We had one on Monday that was actually incorrect.
Oh.
The question was, what was Harry Grant's, his number on his sleeve? Remember, they replaced the 4X logo with their postcode.
Yeah.
And there was a tweet going around on social media that Harry Grant had the number 4412, which ended up being the score line.
Oh.
So that was our question. But it was actually incorrect. Someone had photoshopped it and it had gone crazy on the internet. And
so,
yeah, we'll try and keep the questions correct today.
Yeah, and that's we'll try.
We can't
make any guarantees around that one. All right, let's get into the news. The Daily Telegraph via Phil Rothfield reporting that the Roosters are on the verge of signing Matt Lodge. Can you believe it? And, of course, he's been valued at $20,000 a game. And now, cue outrage from everyone who's not a Roosters supporter, saying, how do they fit this guy in? James, take on that one?
Yeah, I'm one of the non-Roosters supporters.
Yeah.
So you raise an eyebrow to it. Look, firstly, I don't value Matt Lodge at $20,000 a game, to be honest, but It's very Roosters areas. They've picked up a premier front rower leading into the semis, which is what they need. You were saying you think they might not bring him in until six rounds to go.
Yeah, I wouldn't think they'd play. So reading the article in full, they're saying, well, they'll probably play the last five or six games.
Five or six,
so
right.
What he's been doing now, I think he had a game playing number eight off the bench in second division rugby up there in Brisbane. That's got to be 5 or 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So he's not just going to roll into there and go, yeah, I'm ready to play this week. So
you think he won't be fit enough?
They'll put 3 weeks worth of work into him.
Yeah.
And then come round 20, which will be six games. So that'll be 120K. So that'll mean Ronald Volkman's gone, Freddie Lussick's gone. So there's a spot available, there's money available. And that would seem fine to me in theory.
Gotcha.
There's no transparency on it, though. So
yeah. We don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the NRL, if they've said he has to be at $20,000, then they must know, okay, well, you'll have that in your cap and away you go.
So just looking at the draw, the Roosters have got the Panthers in Penrith this weekend.
And everyone's been named for the Panthers coming out of Origin.
So I mark that one down as a loss.
L.
Then they've got the bye. And then they've got a decent run. A couple of hard games, but a decent run into the semis. So
what about their last five? Because I know they finished with the Rabbitohs, who have been a real bogey side for them late in round 25.
So the last five, they've got the Rabbitohs, they've got the Storm. Second last round.
Where?
In Melbourne.
Oof.
Yep. The game before that, they've got the West Tigers, so that's winnable. they've got the Cowboys, another tough one.
Where?
Home.
Okay.
They've got the Broncos at home. They've got Manly at Manly.
Oh, they're all, that's...
So it's not an easy run home. So I'm thinking, yeah, they need Matt Lodge sooner rather than later, because I haven't been impressed with the Roosters, this sort of mid-season form.
Jared Warrior-Hargreaves still out with a hamstring complaint. That's taking a lot longer than anticipated. Luke Keary not named because of that concussion.
Have you heard anything around Luke Keary? Any whispers?
Other than what's been reported? No, nothing. Yeah. They're very, very careful. Remember, he had the number of concussions and they went, right, 6 weeks. And they gave him 6 weeks to recover. And it seemed to do the trick and do the work. And they'd be watching him very closely as well. So see how that's to play out. I'm okay with it, right, with the Matt Lodge thing. But let us know your thoughts. 0457 736 736. Here's the interesting thing. The NRL have put a value on Matt Lodge of $20,000 a game.
What does that work out to?
Right. So there's 24 games in a season.
Yeah.
Right. So let's round it out to 25. That's 500,000.
That's my maths. That's 500,000.
So to the Broncos and to the Warriors who were paying him 800,000 and 700,000, even the NRL's going, "Oh, you got that wrong. You guys are ridiculous."
Let's say just for argument's sake, the Roosters pick him up for next year as well, but there's no report to that. So and they pay him that 20,000 per year per game.
Yep.
500,000. He's already been paid out by the Warriors the $800,000 for next year.
It's a good year.
So Matt Lodge will be on $1.3 million. Matt Lodge will be the highest paid player in the NRL.
Correct.
Wow.
Correct. And there'll be those people who still say, he shouldn't even be in the NRL. But there you go. Freddie Fittler's come out and said, righto, State of Origin decided. Like you need to add a bit more fuel to the fire. But not only is the State of Origin series up for grabs at Suncorp, but guess what? You're playing for Kangaroo spots. And that's not just any Kangaroo tour. That's a World Cup. So there you go.
I heard a really interesting point yesterday. So there's the thought is that if Jerome Luai declares for Samoa, Brian To'o will go with him, ruling himself out for Australia. Tupu will declare himself for Tonga, ruling himself out for Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So Josh Adokar may be first picked winger for Australia, having not been picked for New South Wales.
All of that's to play out too. Like, you know, through history that these end of season tours are often filled with players who have standout semi-final series.
Ah, yes.
It happens all the time. So I know State of Origin form will be looked at very favourably by Mal Meninga and co, but that happens all the time, especially when you've got these expanded squads. You know, there used to be a 28 person tour go on a Kangaroo tour back in the day. And so, you know, those last few spots who go, well, they had a great semi-final series, so we'll put them in there. I don't think, despite what Josh Jackson and the Dogs were talking about, I don't know whether the Dogs will have a final series, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, the two words that come into mind at this time of year, mathematical possibility.
Exactly right. We talked about those scenes out there when the Warriors came in. Over 26,000 will be there at Mount Smart Stadium.
Good.
It's unbelievable. It really is. I heard Cameron George on another interview say it's the second biggest game in the history of the club, the biggest being their first ever game back in 1995.
Love it.
Good luck, Tigers, in that one. Damien Cook is looking to extend his time at the Rabbitohs. Here's the interesting part about this one. Damien Cook, 3-year deal. Okay, I think he signed a 5-year deal at $900,000 a year previously. So the question mark is, with all his Origin experience since that point, is he a more valuable player? Is he the same value? Is he less valuable? He's older, 31 years of age. He's the same age that Adam Reynolds was when he was looking for a 2-year deal and couldn't get it from the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from Souths fans on this one. Text or call us. Is Damien Cook more important to the club than Adam Reynolds, therefore deserves the 3 years? Is he worth more money than Reynolds was at 31 years of age? From the outside looking in, I'd say if you've got the two to pick from, in terms of importance to the club, I'd pick Adam Reynolds.
Right. But that's without knowing what happens internally.
Yeah.
That's the great unknown.
It's very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is Cook worth $900,000 a season now? Well, good dummy halves are as rare as hen's teeth. So if that's what he's asking, I think you've almost got to pay it. But based off his form in the past 24 months, I wouldn't be paying $900,000 a year. Would
remember,
you?
This is a side that were prelim grand final, and Damien Cook was at the heart of a lot of what they did there. So
true.
Too was Adam Reynolds, though. So we've got to temper that. But my understanding of Damien Cook as an athlete is that no one prepares themselves more professionally.
Yeah,
like he is top of the tree when it comes to preparation.
What did you think of the New South Wales experiment of two number nines in the team?
I liked it. I really liked it. It sounded and seemed a bit reactionary. Hey, yeah. Queensland did it, so we'll do it.
Yeah.
But it worked because I think it allowed a comfort for those key players, Yeo, Luai, and in particular Cleary, to have Coruscant there. I would have started Cook and had Coruscant off the bench.
Yeah.
But the way it happened, the way the game played out was Coruscant played the first 33 minutes, then Cook went on and then didn't need to take him off. Yeah. So it worked perfectly.
Yeah. Would you do it again for game three?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so you'd leave Jack Whiten out, or would you bring Jack Whiten in for Stephen Crichton and leave Latrell out?
No, so we've got to get to all of that. There is so much to unpack with that.
Okay.
So much. You know, Whiten and Burton essentially just left-sided players.
Yeah.
Whereas we think Latrell is left but can play right.
Yeah.
Does he do enough on Saturday? This is a big game against the Parramatta Reels on Saturday.
How would you feel first kick downfield, Latrell gets the ball, needing to prove himself in this game? He looks up and you're Dylan Brown or Mitch Moses that he spots in the defensive line and just sprints back at.
Yeah.
That first run, oh, I'd hate to be in front of him.
I want to go back to a run that Latrell Mitchell did. It was in the game when he tore his hamstring about 26 minutes in. It was against Parramatta. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was the last game of the year or near enough to before the semi-final series. Remember, in South's had to go through that series in 2020 minus Latrell Mitchell at the back because he'd done his hamstring for the first time, I think it was, against Parramatta. There was a kick that went into the in-goal area and Latrell Mitchell picked it up about a metre from the dead ball line and then got himself back in about 30 metres upfield.
Yeah.
But during the course of that 40-metre run, it was like he had this little inbuilt computer and he worked out what he needed to do against every defender that was coming at him. So first it was footwork and he got away from the chasers in the in-goal area. Then he got to Mike Osuvo and he went, well, I'm not going to run over the top of you, so I'll step you. So he stepped Mike Osuvo. Then he came to, I think it was Mitch Moses as a defender and went, right, well, I'll go over the top of you. Banged him out of the way.
And
all that. And you're like, man, I mean, it's so innate.
Are you a big Latrell fan?
Love it.
Yeah. I'm number one ticket holder in the Latrell Mitchell fan club. I think he's got to be, if he plays well, I think he's got to be there. Same reason Jake Trbojevic was there. He brings that emotion and that he's an emotional barometer for the New South Wales team.
Yeah, and then the other thing about it is too, and this is what one of the listeners yesterday made mention of during the morning show, and I'm a great believer in set and forget, right? They've done the job. Yeah. So Stephen Crichton, probably the player for New South Wales most exposed about whether you keep him in the side.
Yeah, his defence was shaky.
And so wasn't the standout player.
Yeah.
Wasn't bad, just wasn't the standout player that Burton, say, was. And as one of the listeners said yesterday, the last thing Billy Slater wants in that third Origin game is to have Latrell Mitchell run out in a Blues jersey.
I agree with you.
So there you go. Luke Brooks, he's been included in the side after, what was it, 9 days ago he was going to be excluded. What do we read into that?
Well, I said yesterday maybe this was a little trick. They're trying to find out where the leaks are at the club. So they tell one board member that Adam Dewey's not playing, one board member that Jackson Hastings is signing with another team, and one board member that Luke Brooks isn't going to be picked, and then they find the leaky boat.
I love that. It's been done before.
Yeah.
It's been done a lot.
Yeah.
But absolutely, I love that. I'm not sure whether it's the case or not, but hey, we can run
I'm
with it.
I'm basing that off absolutely nothing.
No, but it's been done so often before. Hey, just before we get to a break, we've got to let you know, Nick Kyrgios has won in five sets, 7-5 in the fifth. But hang on. That's not all. You get a whole lot more than the steak knives with Nick Kyrgios. Here he is, not happy with the crowd.
Spend money to come watch us play. They should be removed. Like, there's no pure disrespect. Like, I don't go up to their face and go to their 9-to-5 and start clapping when they're scanning in a supermarket, do I? Like, oh, boo, yeah, well, no, you can't scan that thing. Like, do I say that? No. They have no right to do that. So, why does it keep happening? Do I turn around and just, like,
but that's
start?
What I want to do. That's what they want you to see like this.
Yeah, I know, but you should just remove them from the crowd.
Okay, not happy with someone who is heckling.
Not happy, Jan.
And wanted them removed. But what about, do I come to their place of work?
Like they all work at Coles or Woolworths?
Yeah. Oh, dear.
You're listening to The Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy.
Uh, It's a great story, isn't it? The on-field performances haven't been great, but it's been amazing to see the scenes over there in New Zealand. 1,038 days since they've been over there to play a game, the Warriors. Their CEO, Cameron George, has been good enough to join us on the line. G'day, Cameron.
Good morning, gents.
Well, I was sort of going to say congratulations, but it feels like that. It feels like in what's been a really tough season that this is going to be a high point. Give us an understanding of what it's like to be in the thick of it and be welcomed back by the people of New Zealand.
Look, it's really hard to describe. There's so many emotions around the return of the team and staff back to Auckland. It's been a long, long time coming. There's been a couple of cancellations due to the borders closing again and so on. So the reality was until we landed, it didn't really hit home, but it's been such a special couple of days so far. The emotions are running high, which will turn into excitement. And then come Sunday, we've got a big job to do in front of a sellout crowd, and we're really looking forward to that. But it's just so good to be home. It's hard to explain.
Mm. Cameron, the Warriors have given up so much over the past couple of seasons to keep this competition alive. There's been a lot of talk about dispensation for that, potentially playing all home games next year or having a bit of a travelling roadshow around New Zealand. I, for one, am a big advocate for that. Has there been any talk from the NRL about that potentially unfolding next season?
No, look, it hasn't really progressed much further, and that's for a number of moving parts to it. Clubs have commitments to stadiums that they've got to fulfil. There's the FIFA World Cup too that's changed a few things and so on. But we're still working with clubs. We're still working with the NRL. And we'd love just to see more content here in New Zealand. Our fans have missed out so much rugby league. It's not funny. They've been having to sit there and watch rugby union, which is not ideal for us. It's been on in their backyard. But as you saw last week, the Kiwi Test versus Tongan, it was a sellout crowd, another sellout crowd this week. And it's really a landscape that supports rugby league in general, and I really think that we all have to think about relaunching it and rebirthing the sport as best we can from next year, and the NRL need to take a really good lead on that.
You might not have a definitive answer on this, Cameron, but can you give us an understanding of the impact that the Warriors not being there and no junior representative football back into Australia for other New Zealand-based players has had on the development of future stars for the Warriors and for New Zealand Rugby League in New Zealand?
It's been significant, Jimmy. It's something that's probably been the hardest thing to manage going through this. Craig Hodges, our GM of footy, and our pathway guys have done a wonderful job to keep it, bubbling along, so to speak. But we've had 2.5 years of no junior rugby league, basically, over here due to lockdowns and so on. But in that time, we've invested more money into our program. So, we have an extensive list of talent that comes into our club every week, and they're trained, a couple of nights a week. And we've been able to put together a couple of games here and there. But the reality is, until we get a team back in the SG Ball or Jersey Flag in the New South Wales Cup comp, which we're hopeful of doing next year, we haven't had that flow-on effect. So if we can do that next year, we'll reconnect the whole pathway right through to NRL levels here. And, mate, that'll flow on really well. And we're very excited with some of the kids we've got, but it hasn't been ideal for sure.
With the pathways and the talent at the moment in New Zealand, we saw the New Zealand team smash Tonga the other night. It's probably the strongest New Zealand national squad that I've seen in the past decade, I'd have to say.
Yes.
Does that give you hope that will sort of trickle down to the younger players and they'll be inspired by this team?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a wonderful effort, and it's been, a few years in the making, them developing that Kiwi team and what they've got there now, and it's a great team. And, alongside us, we can inspire a nation over here to play rugby league. And, I think it's well over 40% of the population in the NRL participation numbers are of New Zealand or Pacific Island heritage. So, we are a great landscape for the game in general. We can't keep them all in New Zealand. We know that. We want to just be able to provide the best talent, the right pathways to play in the NRL, and hopefully choose the Warriors first. But as a collective, the game should be really focused on investing a lot of money into New Zealand and the Pacific Islands.
All right, very exciting for the Warriors to be back, but we've got to ask you these questions, Cameron. How disappointing was it for Christian Wolfe to say no to the coaching position? Where are you at with identifying a coach for 2023 and beyond?
Look, at the end of the day, our owner was in the UK for business anyway. On that basis, we spoke to Christian Wolfe about what his plans were for next year, and look, to the credit of him and understanding, he I think wants to move back to Australia if they do come back this way. So New Zealand wasn't on the agenda for him, so that's okay. We're still going through a process. We're catching up later this week with our owner, who's just arrived back in New Zealand yesterday, and we'll go through a few names on the list. We're not scared of going young and youthful, and or alternatively, look at an experienced person. We just got to get the right person for our footy club to excite our team to play the best footy and lead us through the next few years, because he's got a good roster to work with. We know that. It's just getting the right person to fit that team and that roster and excite them to play the best footy they can.
Yeah. Matt Lodge is in the news today. Back page of the paper suggesting he's going to join the Roosters for the back half of the season. Not quite half, back quarter of the season. Maybe. Am I right in saying, and it's been reported, that the Warriors will be paying his full amount of money next year and it will be on the Warriors' salary cap?
Oh, look, we've done a deal with Matt, which has been widely reported. Probably not the most accurate numbers in the press over the last few months, but that'll remain between Matt and us. But, I wish Matt all the best for the future, and it'd be great to see him back on the park. He's a good footy player, and I'm sure he'll add a lot of value to the Roosters for the rest of the year.
Would you be prepared to give them any advice taking on Matt Lodge?
No, Matt's a decent guy, Matt. I don't have a problem with him at all. I'm just glad he's got an opportunity to be playing footy again.
Are you confident of keeping Reece Walsh in Warriors colours for the duration of his contract?
Look, at this point, Reece is contracted to the club. We're here focused on this weekend. Reece has come out himself recently and said he's committed to moving to New Zealand and so on. And I don't know if anything has changed from that point. And look, in the future is the future. But what I do know is that Reece is really committed to playing for the footy club starting this weekend in here in New Zealand. And hopefully he gets over here and he's going to love the experience and so on. And they're all the good players are hard to keep, but we'll do the best we can to keep every good player we have in our roster.
And the last one is, Sean Johnson is a player that's given us so much joy to watch. His form, in my mind, has been really disappointing. We know that that's probably linked to being away from his family. How confident are you that these few games that you got at home, that Sean's going to rediscover the form that'll give you confidence going into the final year of his contract next year?
Oh, look, Sean's a different bloke to what he was 3 weeks ago being back home. It's amazing to see the response in his, just in his day-to-day personality of being back home with his family. It's great. Hopefully that translates to on-field performance becoming much better. It's no surprise to anyone. He's been struggling a little bit. He's got good support wrapped around him from the footy club, and now he's got his family wrapped around him. And with that, hopefully that's inspiring a good back half of the year. And I'm sure Sean will put his hand up this Sunday and lead the Warriors to hopefully what will be a great day out for everyone.
Yeah, no doubt the city of Auckland and the country of New Zealand have wrapped their arms around he and indeed all the Warriors. Cameron, it's really exciting. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
You're listening to The Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy.
Yes, you're with the Missile and Jimmy Smith this morning. Now, we are joined by one of the Mid-North Coast's favourite sons, the Tyree Red Rover and ambassador for the Mark Hughes Foundation, Denny Vidiris. Is that right? There's two teams in Tyree, right? There was the Red Rovers and the Panthers. Oh. Which were you?
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure they've become one, yeah. I started the Lions, then yep. I went to Chatham Cundall. Then into the Mighty Rovers, yeah.
The Red Rovers.
Group 3, how good.
That was one of my most hated teams to play as a Port Macquarie Shark, yeah. The Tyree Red Rovers. Dirty buggers.
Sharks are always tough. Sharks, whoa. Yeah, they're always bigger than us, those big boys out there.
And was that a better deal that you were offered at those other clubs, Danny?
Yeah, definitely not. Yeah, Red Rovers. I reckon Latrell's come through there.
He
and
did.
Then you had Old Bar Pirates. Old Bar Pirates.
Just Boyd. Yeah.
So good little nursery up there.
Great nursery. Hey, mate, the launch yesterday of the Beanies for Brain Cancer Round has been a part of the NRL for a number of years now. I think I'm right in saying that the Mark Hughes Foundation has now raised over $15 million for research into brain cancer. Mate, it must give you a great deal of pride to be so your old roommate who achieved so much as a player and yet is achieving so much more through these difficult circumstances, Danny.
Yeah, amazing, Jimmy. Yeah, so that's just with the beanie. So $15 million has raised over the last 5 years. So just so nearly 800,000 beanies have been sold in the last 5 years. So it's amazing. And then probably $25 million over the last 9 years that they've been together. So their numbers are just staggering, and it's just through the support and what Mark's about, I guess. He's always been the team player, Mark. Like, he's always been that person that has been underrated, and all of a sudden he comes out with a massive bang. And, you know, he won 5 Clubmen of the Years here at the Knights for just doing community work and just being that social glue that the players needed to keep them together. So, yeah, his statistics in and around what he's doing for cancer research is just staggering. And with the support of the community, the rugby league community, and the community as a whole, it's going gangbusters.
Mm. Now, we were talking in the break, Danny, Jimmy and I, about the evolution of the beanies over the years. And we encourage any of our listeners to go out and buy one. They are very fashionable. Who's involved in the design of the beanies? Are you on the fashion director?
Well, no, my wife, she plays a role there, but I run my eye over them every now and then with a bit of feedback, which is kindly not appreciated. So she doesn't take it on board. What do you know? So, no, that's the other thing. They've just got a small team. Like, there's probably 3 of them with Kira Lee, Mark's wife, and a couple of others that just work tirelessly to punch this out. Just always above their weight, and they just get it done. And that's another thing. There's no overheads with this foundation. They just go plow all straight into research. So it's amazing what that little team can do.
Yeah, that is amazing. I'm sure your input is appreciated by Brad Fittler. Tell us about being a part of an incredible victory at Optus Stadium on Sunday, mate. That's exciting.
It was. It's a really good time of the year. It can be draining. Like, after game one, it takes you some time to get over it, let alone as a coach, but I can only imagine the players. The players are just amazing. They are amazing the way that they bounce back up, and they've got another game to go. And just something about Nathan Cleary, who just unfairly owned probably game one. And he was never on the front foot. He was always on the back foot, and just saw the way he approached the preparation for game two. And a lot, everyone did, with coaches, everyone, just the preparation for game two was a lot steelier, and we need to replicate that for game three, because going into that, it's been done twice, I think 94 and 05 was winning a decider up in Queensland. So a huge task, huge. That's the holy grail, I guess, for this group and Freddie. So really looking forward to getting back into camp with the boys on Monday.
How have you recovered from the Origin celebrations? We heard our own Greg Brandy Alexander was spotted going to bed around 6 a.m. after the game. Were you with Brandy or you turned it in early?
I saw where that was going. So I sort of backdoored. I could see him from afar. I was about to join the group, but there was some Carver celebrations with us. Ah. So I think Brandy fitted in really nicely there. But, he's the best, Brand. He goes under the radar, that man. Very good.
Hey, I want to ask you, you now with your role with the Knights, at close hand, you've seen what it takes and the pressure that the coaches are under. And Brad Fittler's name's been linked to different clubs, most notably the Bulldogs. Do you think Brad Fittler would be able to go back into the NRL and be a success?
Oh, I just love what Freddie's about in this role. Like, it's just, he's so made for this. This role is just Freddie, like, down to the T, where he just brings the promotion of it all. He understands it, the media side of it all. He gets everything that it's about, and it's entertainment at the end of the day, and that's Freddie to a T. And his relaxed approach and the way he delivers his message to the players is just so on point. But, you know, if you go into that up and down, win-loss, situation of every week, it's different. It's a totally different beast. But I just love what this is about for Freddie, because he gets all those players who are the best players in the game just all buy in a short preparation and go out there and prepare, and it's fantastic to see.
Bedsy, thank you. Got to fly. Danny Badiris.
You're listening to The Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy.
Yeah, welcome back. You're with Jimmy Smith and Jimmy Magnuson, the double J's.
Did you ever get Jimmy?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
A little bit. Yeah, I've got a million nicknames. Jimmy, Maggie. Some of our listeners call me the Nerf Dart.
The Nerf Dart?
Yeah, there's a few. There's a few.
Explain that one.
Just a reference to the missile.
Ah.
Bullet, missile, Nerf Dart, potato gun. Now, we've been telling you about SEN Survivor. You just have to pick one NRL game each week for the chance to win $2,500. Head to sensurvivor.com.au, and that's all thanks to our friends at Brighton's Lawyers.
Very good. Time now to have a further sports update with Michelle Bishop.
And now on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, a sports update with Michelle Bishop.
Now, this is a good one, Michelle. Freddie Fittler, and we know that, you know, you can get a run in the semi-finals and into a grand final and people put their hands up for kangaroo tours or Rugby League World Cup as it is this year, but Freddie's saying, game three, all on the line. I like this.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's more than the series at stake heading to Brisbane. So Fittler's declared this game as crucial in terms of how the kangaroo side will shape ahead of the World Cup. So spots are well and truly up for grabs. Cam Munster and James Tedesco have to be certain starters, but I think that's where he's sort of indicated that it stops. And what I want to ask this morning is, where does that leave the likes of Jack Whiten, Latrell Mitchell, Ryan Pappenhausen, if they don't get a chance to play,
Josh,
if they're not included? So this is really concerning. And remember, Freddie, along with Mal Meninga, Billy Slater, and of course Peter Vallandis, the Commission Chairman, are all part of that selection panel. So we're not hearing from Joe Blow down the road. And Freddie believes almost every spot is there for the taking this time round. Obviously, as I said, with the exception of Tedesco and Cam Munster, and that is why this game is so, you know, so vital. Everything is absolutely well and truly on the line. So does this mean that Nathan Cleary has to have another complete blinder to get the nod? Like it's a curly one, this one.
Yeah, surely not. If they don't pick Cleary at halfback, people will be burning down effigies of Mal Meninga.
I don't think in Queensland they would be.
No. I think it's really interesting. So if you go, okay, well, DCE might have a game in the finals, maybe two. Nathan's going to play three.
Yeah.
Probably, including a grand final. The other one is, look at fullback. If you go, right, automatically Tedesco, maybe even captain, and then you go Kalen Ponga, but he won't play finals. Ryan Pappenhausen plays in the finals and gets Clive Churchill medal in the grand final again. How do you leave him out?
Yeah, good point.
That's the point.
Interesting. What about Nick Kyrgios? Has he come out in defence of Nick Kyrgios?
Of course he has. 5-set tussle against a British qualifier, Paul Jupp, and it was full of entertaining moments, let me tell you. So Kyrgios pulling out all sorts of antics right across the morning, calling the line judge a snitch, fighting with the chair umpire, but the big woman was, of course, spitting in the direction of fans and admitting after the match that he actually did it. So he's argued that spectators' behaviour in this particular incident was disrespectful. And he's gone on further to say that those type of fans are getting out of hand and something needs to be done. So I guess that's the way he's dealt with it. He's also said he caught racist comments. It's been quite the show this morning at Wimbledon. Victories to other Aussies, though, which we have to give a mention to, which I'm delighted to. Kyrgios always stealing the limelight. Alex Demenor won his match. Jordan Thompson, clinical display from him. Jelena Tomljanovic, she won. And, of course, Jason Kubler. Now, that's just such an interesting story. A young kid, 3 months ago, he was just sitting outside the top 200 in the world.
Wow.
He's now had battled some injuries and stuff, and he's now 90 in the world. So well done to him.
So good. Now, the Matildas have played overnight. Can you give us a wrap on them?
A late equaliser. They're sharing the spoils this morning. It's left the Matildas shattered. Now, we're just a year away now from the Women's World Cup, which is going to be played on home soil. So that disastrous outing on Wednesday morning as well, 7-0 at the hands of Spain. Bit of perspective, Portugal's ranked almost 20 places behind Australia. So substitute Princess Ebony got the first international goal in the 73rd minute. She scored that against the run of play for the Matildas. They were outplayed, guys, for much of the match. Very lucky to escape with what they did. They were spared a red card by a referee blunder. The ref handed the wrong Australian player a yellow card. So in a nutshell, defender Courtney Nevin was already on a yellow card. So if she had a cop that yellow card, she would have been sent off. Yeah. What's next for the Matildas? Well, two matches on home soil now early in September against Canada. And we all know that they claim gold at the Tokyo Olympics. You know, we've had almost every England-based player, so all our top guns, rested from this particular camp. I guess that's our only saving grace. But it really asks some big questions about the lack of depth in the squad moving forward.
Yeah. Hard to replace someone like Sam Kerr, right? Arguably best player on the planet. More interested in enjoying the State of Origin over at Optus Stadium, which is fair enough too.
I can understand that.
Exactly.
I stand with Sam Kerr.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Michelle, thank you. Enjoy your day. Stay warm. And we'll speak again tomorrow.
Speak tomorrow, guys.
There is Michelle Bishop from Channel 7. Just before we go, hey, boys, if Mal picks DCE over Cleary, that'll do me! Because Rostock had it in capitals, so we wanted to do that, Rostock. And then can we get to this? New listener and a big fan of the missile. In 2012, you lost the gold medal by 1/100th of a second. Do you think missing out on that medal has affected your life in the long term? Steve Roach has not let go of losing the 1989 grand final and refuses to. From Bruno from Belmore.
Belmore, what a place. Well, look, Bruno, I think it did affect my life, but for the positive. I think my life was headed in a certain direction at that age, 20 years of age. I had all this publicity and all this press, and everyone was pumping up my wheels. And I think it was affecting me in a negative way. I look back then and I think, was I headed down a path which would have been less than desirable? I think that humbled me a lot, and that gave me a really different perspective on life and on the media and on how people were treating me. I had a lot of yes men in my life and yeah. around me. And I think it actually had a profoundly positive effect on my life, not only in swimming, but certainly my life after sport. So I'm actually appreciative of what that moment did for me and the path that it set me on.
You know what you've just done? You've just given us your very own Billy Slater. What an opportunity when they were down to 12 men.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's yep. right.
Yeah.
My thought on that would be, couldn't that humility come in a different form? Come on, just let me win the gold medal and I'll do something else. I'll lose the world champs. Come on.
Yeah, it's a funny, I look back on it and I think, you know, I ticked off everything in the swimming world except that Olympic gold.
Yes.
But not everyone gets a fairy tale. Well, you know, very rarely anybody gets a fairy tale. But all in all, I am appreciative of that moment. And I believe, I'm a big believer in everything happens for a reason. And I think I needed that.
Anyone else got some therapy sessions that they want to run through with James Magnusson? He'll be available after 9 o'clock. Leather couch is supplied as well. I love that, mate. That's fantastic.